This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Feeling thirsty? You might already be dehydrated. Enter Liquid IV. Behind every great-tasting sip is a science-backed formula of electrolytes and nutrients made to quickly replenish fluids lost from sweat. Every stick is powered by 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. Redefine the refresh with Liquid IV, also available in sugar-free. Tear, pour, live more. Visit us at liquidiv.com.
Worry has no place in our lives. God created us to have power, to have love, and a sound mind. And today on Better Together, Nicole Binion, Dr. D.B. Freeman, Robin Wilkerson, and Amy Dockery are with me to talk about how to quiet our thoughts and to rest in God's peace. Come on, join us.
I have always loved the scripture, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And I can remember moments when I was younger, even in my teenage years, when I would be kind of be hit with fear. And I can remember, saying that scripture out loud. Mm-hmm. Maybe I had watched like a scary movie or something, and then I found myself home alone. And I like feel this fear kind of, setting in. I just remember saying, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And, as we get older, I think fear comes to us in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. Like worry and anxiety is, I think, one of two of the ways that fear just comes at us. And so I love to sit and share stories with our friends. Like this is such a beautiful thing to do. And so I'm going to be really transparent today because I'm going to share a very recent story of worry, anxiety. The spirit of fear really came on me. Just a few weeks ago, my husband and I were enjoying a week of vacation. No kids, just the two of us. And it was towards the end of the vacation. And, I'll preface this by saying, I think the last 2 years during the pandemic and loss, the different one, so many people have experienced. Mm-hmm. I've experienced loss. My dad passed away suddenly last year, very unexpected. And so I think those things come at us and fear can really plant itself in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I found myself towards the end of our vacation, we had a wonderful time. And all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, this fear hits me. We're going to bed, one night. And I'm like, fear of the future, mm-hmm. fear of being alone. Mm-hmm. The enemy just uses anything, right? Like, my husband's 10 years older than me. We have a special needs son. What if I'm going to be alone one day? And so it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. And it was such an attack, like a fear. And, I was sobbing. It just came at me hard. And, my husband in that moment, he's like, okay, I don't know the right words to say, but we're going to pray mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And, he just prayed over me, Jesus, we don't know what the future holds, but you are our answer. Yeah. And so we look to you in this moment. And, he just prayed with such authority over me as my covering. Yeah. And, the peace of God, began to feel that moment. I was able to sleep well that night. And then the next day, I came across one of my friends' Instagram account. And, sometimes you can really be encouraged by social media. Sometimes you can be really discouraged. But there are moments you can really be encouraged. Yes. And my friend had made this post that said, was talking about how we can be afraid of things that are coming in the future, or maybe afraid of moments, or but faith is knowing that God is going to be with me in that moment in the future that I'm so afraid of, right? Yeah. That we can trust and know that just like he's with me now, and I've invited him into this moment, mm-hmm. and with him comes peace that passes all understanding. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm going to trust that he's going to be with me in the future, whatever it holds, that he really is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Yeah. And so I just, I you know, kind of walked that out over the next few days and really felt that fear and worry, anxiety about the future lift off of me. But isn't it just kind of interesting, right? Just sometimes it's like we almost like we have our guard down, mm-hmm. and then something will just hit us like that so hard. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so important that we have people around us. Maybe it is a spouse. Maybe for those who are not married, maybe, you know, it's a girlfriend, right? This like mm-hmm. circle of mm-hmm. of trust and yeah. someone, friends that we can call on, our pastor mm-hmm. or maybe our pastor, mm-hmm. to speak into our lives, to pray for us and to agree with us. Yes. And so anyway, that's my latest story about worry and anxiety yeah. just coming at me out of nowhere. But the peace of God that passes all understanding, and that, you know, none of us know. We don't have control over the future.
I think God's peace feels like, for me, like just a settling in my heart. Oftentimes, you know, when God has led me and my husband, our family, into something new, into He's asking us to step out and to do something, and I've often heard it said, like, follow peace, and so for me, what that has meant is that I can sense and know, like, that God is with me, even though I might be in my flesh, or, you know, I might be scared of this new thing or whatever, but being settled in Him and knowing that He is with me, to me, that is what peace is. That's what the peace of God feels like.
You know, but how many times have we seen ourselves go through something horrible and tragic?
Yeah.
And thinking, man, I never knew I could do this.
Yes.
I never knew I could get through this yes. with such peace.
Yeah.
Such sound mind.
Yeah.
And such power. Right. Even though this looks like the most horrible day of my life. Mm-hmm. That's the future. That's yeah. the future of when you trust God in this present moment for that moment.
Yes.
Even though now you think, oh gosh, I would die if that happens.
Right.
You're not going to die.
Absolutely. Right.
Because God is with you like yes. He is right now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we get when we serve Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the benefit mm-hmm. of being filled with the Holy Spirit and mm-hmm. knowing who yeah. God is.
Yeah.
That the world, there's nothing of this world mm-hmm. that controls my life.
Yeah.
Except God's yeah. God's perspective,
yeah.
God's kingdom.
Right.
And that's what we live by as Christians. We don't live by this world's economy
right.
or no. this world system. We right. are part of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And kingdom come, thy yes. will be done right here,
yes.
right now. Yeah. I'm not this health issue.
Yeah.
This is not my playing field. Right. God's right. got my right. help. God's right. got my life. God's yeah. got my mm-hmm. breath. Mm-hmm. God's got everything.
Yeah.
I live by what He says
yeah.
and what He says alone. And I think even in the turmoil and the media that just shoots so much fear,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's just fear-based.
Right. Yeah.
And what's funny is it makes it so much easier for me to go, where do I live?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where do I live here?
That's yep. good.
And it's just getting easier and easier mm-hmm. that I yeah. am not of this
yes,
world.
I'm yes. not of this world. It's easy to escape. It's like, I want to run. Let me yeah. not even deal with what you commoners are dealing with.
You say these commoners.
What you said is these earthlings. But you said something really key, though. You said knowing God mm-hmm. and all of what you were saying. And a lot of times, people, even believers, don't know God.
Yeah.
They right. have received Him as Savior, but a lot haven't even received Him or allow Him to be Lord
yes.
of their lives, yeah. right? There's yeah. a big difference.
Yes.
And we haven't become one with this word. When we become one with this word, we'll realize that God's word is true
yes.
and it'll give you a sense of peace
yes.
because all of the stuff that's going on now in this world, it will take anyone out if you yeah. don't know the word, yeah. but thank yeah. God that He is in our tomorrows today.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if knowing that He is there already, have worked it all out, we're just going to enter into that day. We don't even have to give thought to, you know, tomorrow because he's there. He's already worked it out.
Yeah.
And I believe that when we become one with this word and know this word, like you were just saying, then that's when the peace of God, because that's how you'll be able to keep your mind stayed on him. Yeah. It's not, you're just not going to be just thinking of God, God, God. You're going to think about all that he has given you.
Right.
You know, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. How do you enter into that? You got to keep your mind stayed on him and at peace and knowing that he's already worked it out.
There is a difference between the world's idea of peace and God's peace. The world's idea of peace is just having all of your needs met. God's idea of peace is having peace in the midst of not having your needs met. And a lot of people don't understand that. When you can keep your mind stayed on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. That's like a rest that you can't even imagine. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, that we should labor to enter into that rest. That peace will allow you to rest in the presence of God when all of your needs are met and when all of your needs are not met.
Judging every thought is so important because that verse says the spirit of fear.
Right.
You know, because there are good fears. There's a fear you want your child to know that water's dangerous, that street is dangerous. And it's a shame we only have one word for fear in the English language, really, because there's good fears and bad fears. But the spirit of fear is what we have to discern. Is this a natural fear? Is this a warning from God? Or is this a spirit of fear? Because he tells us right there the things you gain. Says, I didn't give you that spirit of fear. So we have to go, where did it come from?
Right.
What battle up here have I already lost by entertaining this fear?
Yeah.
And the enemy wants to go, see, Nicole, one day you may not have all these things.
Yeah.
And you begin to go, well, what? I need to be prepared. What if then? So you take in the seed of that spirit of fear.
Yeah.
And what happens when we come in agreement with the spirit of fear? It's the opposite of power, love, and a sound mind.
Right.
And so the opposite of a sound mind is I'm in utter confusion. I don't know how to make a decision. I don't know what's best. I don't know what to do. I can't even hear.
Right.
I mean, have you ever been so frightened where you lose your ability to hear?
Oh, yes.
That's happened to me. It's like a shock that happens. And you're like, I didn't hear. You said that? I didn't hear anything. I was so terrified by the lightning or whatever happened that I really didn't hear. And I think that's what we have to first discern right here. Is this a natural fear? Is it a spirit of fear? And if it's a spirit of fear, like you had the emotion, you felt just like you'd lost something in that moment. And it's important to identify that because then you can take captive that thought. And you can begin to go, wait a minute, if I have this spirit of fear, where'd it come from? Where's the open door? How is the enemy allowed me to enter a conversation and entertained a conversation that has gone a place that now I don't have authority? Because that's where I think the knowledge you said, Lori, that was so good, is the knowledge of our identity is so important, who we are and what kingdom we're of. Because he said, whatsoever things you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that's not talking about the third heaven where God lives. That's already a perfect place. It's talking about the warfare right over our head. The battle. He even says principalities and powers. And then he says, and he's talking about earthly principalities and powers. He's talking about governors. He's talking about senators. He's talking about congressmen. He's talking about presidents. Then he says, and powers of darkness, rulers of darkness. That's the spiritual part. But so much of our warfare is against systemic evil. It is against governments. It is against people who are greedy, right? And that's what we should be declaring and preparing a word of life, not death, a word
truth.
Of peace, not chaos. You know, with everything going on in the world right now, I was talking to you guys before we started filming today, just about being a pastor of a local church and people really wanting you to make a statement about what's going on in the world. And I prayed about it, you know, and I thought about it. I talked to my inner circle and I said, I just want to tell you guys, this is what I'm thinking is I'm not here to win a popularity contest. And I'm not here to personally put a stake in the ground and say, this is what Amy believes or Amy celebrates this or Amy condemns this. I am here as a shepherd. And my role and job as a shepherd is to create a place of peace.
Yes.
That is my role. Mm. And peace is something the world cannot manufacture.
True.
It's impossible without God. Mm-hmm. There's no real peace. There is no real escape. And I'm like, I want our church to be a place where we can leave all those things behind and go, you know what? Maybe we'll be accused of living under a rock. Mm-hmm. But all I'll say is, you know what I do? I run to a rock that is higher than I, and He's my shelter. He's my strength. Mm-hmm. And all those things out there, we're connected first by what we believe about Him,
right.
What we believe about His power. And I think fear loses its footing when we recognize it has no place.
A bad fear is when a thought won't let you go, when you obsess and you go around and round in circles, you know, thinking about this thing that could happen, and it creates paranoia. And paranoia means everything is converging against me. But metanoia, the word in Greek metanoia is mentioned in scripture when it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind. That word in Greek for renewing your mind is metanoia. And metanoia means everything is converging to help me. So when we set our mind on things above, as James said, not on earthly things, and we get the mind of Christ, that means we look at everything through a healthy fear, but not a fear that freezes us or debilitates us. Only fears that are allowed are fears that will help protect us.
When I was a young woman.
You're still young.
Yeah. I'm thinking about that verse.
Yeah.
That exact verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear, like mm-hmm. Amy was talking about, power, love, and a sound mind. I actually painted that, Lori, on the wall over mm-hmm. Graham, my special yeah. need oh, boy, yeah. you know, on his in his bedroom.
I love it.
The idea of a sound mind, and he had had spinal meningitis, and he coded and was resuscitated, and we went through a lot. But as you're talking, Amy, about fear, I was plagued by fear. And I actually am so happy to tell you that I'm sitting here right now and I hadn't thought about it. And that is that when I was 15 years old, I was at home with my family, and we had come back from a trip, and my auntie had been staying at my house, and she was a senior, a grandma. Yeah. She was younger than me, and I thought she was so old.
Oh,
and we came home, and when we got in the house, she had been a missionary in Africa for decades, and when we came home, she said to my dad, you got to fix that window, and he said, Yeah, you know, quit bugging me. He was a pastor. And he said, no, I'm not kidding.
He was a pastor.
You need to figure. And he's like, oh, this grandma lady, she's telling me what to do, you know.
Yeah.
And all that to say that she got her coat on and left.
Yeah.
Well, what had happened was she had found that the window in our laundry room was broken. Mm. And she had decided she would sleep by that window because that bothered her. So she said to my dad on the way out, I'm telling you to fix the window. And again, he kind of, well, she left. We went to bed. Everybody was home. And I was in my twin bed. My sister was next to me and I was asleep. And all of a sudden I felt something and I woke and I looked and standing at the foot of my bed was a man. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, of course. And I'm thinking I'm dreaming. But when I opened my eyes the next minute, he's crawling between the beds. Oh, here's my sister. Here's me.
Whoa.
I scream bloody murder. He gets up. He jumps out. He's running. My dad has his baseball bat. He's chasing the guy.
Wow.
Sure enough, he came in through that window that night. Now, that helped me a lot because I knew that God had warned her. So that that helped my faith. Mm-hmm. But I was traumatized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And from that minute, 15 years old, I was afraid to be alone. I was afraid at night. Mm-hmm. And this is the truth. My husband, he'll watch this and he'll laugh his head off. But I would wake up with what we now know is called night terrors. And I would be screaming my head. I would sleepwalk. because I was so consumed with fear. So here I am, a young mother, and I mean, we'd go on a vacation or something. Mm-hmm. He loves to tell the story that I'd be out screaming in the hallway and then I'd wake up because I was so overcome with this fear. Yeah. One time he got up to preach and his face was kind of all clawed up and he's like, okay, I'm here to tell you my poor wife had a nightmare. That's how.
Gripped.
And Amy, as you were talking, I haven't thought of that. Hmm. I haven't had a night terror in 15, maybe 20 years, for 20 years previously, I was plagued by that. Wow. And I'm thinking, I just have to testify. It didn't happen overnight. Yeah. And what I was looking at this scripture that is so important, Timothy, you know, he's talking and he's saying, this is why Paul is reminding Timothy. Right. This is why I remind you, Timothy, Robin, Lori, Amy, Dee Dee, to fan the flame of faith, because it's there that we get the weapon or we get better. And I think sometimes we Christian women, Christian women, we're like, well, it didn't happen right away. And here I am telling you, this was real.
Yeah.
I mean, I would wake up in the night and I'd be in the garage because I was so terrified and I couldn't breathe. And, and people would say, well, you're not a Christian or you're being oppressed. And the truth is, no, I had been traumatized as a child.
Yes.
And I was never really at risk. My dad was right there. Yeah. But it didn't matter the facts. It was what I felt that I had absorbed. Right. And I guess, you know, as we're talking about it here, I'm thinking to myself, it's so important to tell people this is a process.
Yeah.
And the word of God is a gift.
Yes.
And He wouldn't tell us to be full of faith unless we could be.
Right.
He wouldn't ask us to be patient if we can't do it. So the word of God is a seed. Yeah. And I really hope people can hear me. It's a seed that gets planted.
Yes.
And then that seed grows just like the plants in your yard. You don't get fruit in the first year. It's 7 years. To get fruit. So I'm just so happy to tell you
that you're free.
That I'm free.
That's so awesome. I'm
not plagued by what was so horrible for so long. And my heart goes out to people today that are listening and they're saying, but I'm so afraid of what the news says. I'm so afraid of what's happening at my child's school or what's happening even at church. I'm in conflict, whatever, divided. And I think to myself, no, the word of God is a seed.
Yes.
And if we'll fan that flame, hallelujah. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yes. And protect the soil, right? The drought know, fan, nothing comes in to steal the seed, but we fan the flame.
How do you protect that though? You have to get more word in you because whatever you hear the most, you'll have faith for.
Right.
So if I'm hearing about all of the fearful things and the attacks and turn it off.
King David said that we can never get out of the presence of God. He said, where can I go? And you're not there. If I fly to the uttermost parts of the earth, there you are. If I make my bed in hell, there you are. So I don't believe we can get out of God's presence, but I'm telling you, we can put ourselves in predicaments where we cannot feel Him or see Him or sense Him. And so that's when I sit down and say, where can I go from your presence? And that's when you start worshiping. That's when you start focusing your attention and your mind and your heart on the things of God and His love for you. No one is like you to God. And when you focus on that, you will feel His presence because He is ever present in the time of your trouble, and He will show Himself real to you.
I remember when my son got in trouble when he was about 16 or 17, and
Man, it was probably one of the hardest times in my life. No, like it was bad. Yeah. Here you are, the pastor's son.
Yeah.
I mean, the people of faith, we knew how to raise our kids. We bind and we loose. What do you mean you in trouble? Yes. And then they call and tell me they have my son for attempted murder.
Whoa.
So now hearing all of that, right?
Yeah.
You have to go through, you thinking, okay, I have an African-American son. Yep. You are in the prison system. What is going on here?
Yeah,
what,
wow,
you know, the panic, the attacks, the anxiety, I mean, it was really bad. I mean, thank God, you know, he was vindicated and it wasn't any of that, but the whole process was really overwhelming.
Terrifying.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
I would go to sleep. I mean, I wouldn't even sleep until he would come home at night. Even being grown, I remember, you know, after he had moved out, like texting him to see he had his own place. And I'm texting, hey, you home? And try to make it as normal as possible. Like, I'm really not worried. I'm just thinking about you. The Lord laid you on my heart.
Yeah.
No, really, I'm terrified right now. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Just wanting to know that, like you said, I mean, when you have a traumatic experience like that, if you don't overcome it through the word, it will try to overtake you. And I thank God. I mean, the scripture talks about how there's no fear in love and perfect love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, God, I know you are love and you're perfect in me and I'm made perfect in you. So let me, you know, meditate on that part to deal with this fear and trust you. I had to like relinquish.
Yes.
You know, this authority that I thought I had to control the situation, which I couldn't control anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, God, okay, you got it.
Yeah.
I mean, until I cast it, it just tried to overtake me.
What I love about this is what you said, that there's nothing that God says to us that he hasn't given us the power and the ability to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. And so many of us go, oh, yeah, right.
Exactly.
Okay. So this program, us as dear friends for decades, I've known each one of you for decades and decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to walk this word every single
day.
Every day.
We don't talk on this show of things that we've...
No.
It's so easy. Okay. We have overcome.
Right.
Walking a daily faith life is overcoming from glory to glory. You're constantly overcoming. And we have to practice this up. This isn't stuff that we learned and then you skip on and you do, then you learn it again in a, even a bigger way. And then you learn it again. Mm-hmm. And the harder it looks, sometimes the easier it gets, right? The older we get, the easier it gets.
It's good to be old. It's good to be old.
So that's what I think everyone can glean from us older ladies. But
we own that,
for
right,
sure,
right?
It says it says be anxious for nothing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God's always saying fear not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And normally he always follows it up because I'm with you.
Yes.
Don't take heart. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Fear not. I am with you.
Yeah.
And so being anxious for nothing, but in all with all things, with prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving.
That's the key right there.
With thanksgiving.
Because what I love so much about that, and it ties to enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, is that he instructs an attitude adjustment before you pray.
Come on. No, that's good.
Because when you think about, wait a minute, most of the time I want to enter his courts. Think about a courtroom. I want to enter and go, we need justice.
Right.
I need this to be done. Here is my laundry
list. Thanks and praise.
No, we're there to like get change, something to happen. And I'm like, wait a minute, but he's telling me to enter first with praise and thanksgiving. And then once you start doing that, it's like, that list really isn't that big of a deal. Right?
Having a kingdom mindset helps us overcome worry and anxiety because it shows us there's something eternal that overrides all the temporary. Whatever the temporary struggle we have right now, it won't last forever. It will pass. Jesus taught on the kingdom to remind all of us that there was something to look forward to, something bigger than who we are or what we're walking through right now. So it's important for us to focus on the kingdom of God. Whenever we're struggling through something, God will work all those things together for our good, but we can be sure that He's cared for us and He's planned for us. And as Father, He perfectly provides for everything that we need. We just have to lean into Him as Lord, not just Savior.
Because it changes your attitude. Simply means it's not a feeling. An attitude's not a feeling. Yeah. It is a position that you enter. That's what attitude means. When they talk about it, when a pilot talks about it, it's your positioning. Mm-hmm. So you enter in position of gratitude, which is the opposite of anxiety.
And then normally you don't even need that thing.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. But it's a conscious effort that you have to make in order to get it. I was talking to a young lady on the way here, right? I was in the airport and she called me. And she's really dealing with a lot of, just a lot of things. She's like, I'm just going through so bad. And so I'm just talking and I'm saying, hey, you got to change your mindset. Yeah. You got to change how you look at things. Yeah. If not, it's going to overtake you. Yeah. So I'm going through all of this. She said, oh, you make it sound like it's just so easy. And I'm like, it may feel difficult. It's just different, you know, but it's easy. He says
practice.
It's practice. It's like he says, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. It's like, okay, I'm not saying you're going to feel excited and light and wonderful, but make a decision to listen to the word and do what the word tells you. It's like, if not, if you keep thinking about, oh, I can't do this, I'm overwhelmed, that's nowhere in the word does he tell you to just meditate on all of the bad or the wrong things that you're going through, right?
Right.
You'll never have peace if that's the case.
Yep.
Well, that's why he says whatsoever things are lovely.
Yes, yes.
Whatsoever things are just. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys wake up during the night thinking you messed up. But
all
I do.
The time.
Yes,
right?
I do.
So you wake
all
up, you look at the clock, it's 1:13, and you're like going, oh, and then all of a sudden,
here it comes, here it comes.
Right? Yeah. And then after about 30 minutes, you're like, what the world?
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
And so I pick a scripture.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Think, why am I thinking about that?
Mm-hmm.
It's just worry. That's a conversation I'll never have with somebody.
Right.
Or that's, you know, stuff that's
do you
not
go
even
the whole conversation.
I go,
like what you say, what they going to say.
Oh yeah, I do.
How you going to respond?
And do you ever accidentally say it out loud? And then you think, that
like,
was
what
so
is
stupid.
Doing?
I hope no
what
one's
doing?
Watching me.
That's so funny.
But whatsoever things are lovely and just and pure.
Yeah.
Good report.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think on these things. That's why I think he says it's so important to have the mind of Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
To keep your things to be so that you'll be transformed.
Yes.
It transforms us. It transforms to where all of that stuff that we're talking about, all of the worldly stuff.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy.
Yeah.
And just live out your life doing what God's called you to do.
Yeah.
Everything else is just chaos. Yeah. And just we as Christians have got to stay in our lane with the mind of Christ.
Right.
Yes. That peace.
Yeah.
That joy. That righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And show the world what Christianity looks like.
Yes.
We love people.
The Bible says to put on the mind of Christ, and it also says to take every thought into captivity. And when I first read that and was taught that, I would think to myself, that's impossible. I can't possibly control my thoughts. But I've learned that's not true. I've learned that whenever God asks us to do something in the Bible, we actually are equipped to do that. Now, how we do that is by speaking His word instead of our thoughts. And thoughts don't have to stay in our brain. Instead, we can speak the truth of God's word. And with that, we can overcome toxic thoughts that can destroy us.
Get the latest Better Together news delivered straight to your inbox. Visit bettertogether.tv to sign up now.
And God has given us everything we need to wage a good warfare against these things that come at us. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit who empowers us to overcome and to live holy and to do these things right. And we have the presence of God, so we can practice the presence of God. You know, I'm a worship leader, but I've recently been studying more, digging into practicing the presence of God. And there's this, in monasteries, there's this practice called statio that where they go, they take the moment between the moments and it's inviting God into the moment between the moments. And so, you know, it's taking my thoughts to God and inviting God into my thoughts. So practicing, you know, we have access by the blood of Jesus into the very presence of God anytime, any place. We don't have to go to a temple. You know, right wherever we are, we can experience His presence. And as we experience His presence, all those things, right? We see Him, how big He is, how great He is. And all those things, just we really see how small they are. And how much power we have through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit.
That's so beautiful.
I love this idea where attention goes, energy flows. I love that idea because that says that I can attend, I can focus, I can take that thought and I can turn my head. You did that when I had, I raised four sons when they were misbehaving and I didn't want to give that toddler extra credit for that misbehavior. I would turn my head and I tell my young parent children, just ignore that. Ignore that. I don't want that for that child. And so where my attention goes, the energy flows.
So
I have to make a decision. What am I going to do? I'm going to make God bigger. I love the verse, oh, come, let us magnify the Lord. Make God so big where I want my life to go.
Can we get just like granular with that? I think it would help people to understand because, you know, Nicole is a world-renowned worship leader, and they may go, it's easy for you to say you practice the presence of God because you open your mouth and it just falls. But what, how does the commoner, the average folks, how do we go, how do we magnify the Lord? How do we enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise? Maybe we're not a good singer, right? So I think what is important for us to really just bring it down to brass tacks for people is what that looks like is, in my opinion, would be rehearsing the goodness of God.
That's good.
So, because I don't even think you're allowed in the gates or in the courts with complaining. I don't even know that the invitation or the door would open for you. So maybe that's why your prayer's not being heard. I don't know.
But, just throw that out there.
But I do think, you know, what works for me to really feel the presence of God is to go, okay, God, you've done this for me before. I've been in this place before, this same place of desperation. And Lord, you showed up for me in the 11th hour. Look what you did. Do you remember that time when our kids were little and our power was turned off and I had no money and I didn't want to call anybody and you came through for us. And I would go through each of those things to go, whatever, if it was a financial situation I was fading, then those are the things I'd remember Him in. If it was health, I'd remember Him in that. And that's how we enter into His gates and His courts. And then the presence of God shows up and we're like, okay, wait a minute. This is really all I needed. I thought I had a bigger need, but now I have this need that's met.
I make a conscious effort to keep the peace of God in my heart and mind by doing the simple things that we're you know, really instructed to do as Christians. I spend time with the Lord, right? There, it may just be worship music that's playing in the atmosphere, but it may be some time set aside with the Word of God daily, time spent with Him. You know, I can only experience His presence and His peace when I'm when I spend time with Him. And so then that carries me throughout the day, throughout my life, as I am intentional about making Him a priority in my life and putting Him first in my life.
Listen what you said, how you went to God. It wasn't to really tell God what he has done. He already knew.
Yes.
What did that do for you?
It
convinced
it
you, built
yes.
your faith to say,
that was magnifying
oh, that
the
was
Lord.
Magnifying yes. the Lord. Yes. God, you did this before. So now yes. you can sense his presence because you've cast all your cares. It's like,
yeah.
oh,
yeah.
wow.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
look back because we don't just enter into his presence on a, you know, when something happens. The Bible says we dwell yes. in his secret places
right.
and we abide under
right.
his shadow. So me, for my worship, it's like I live a life of worship. It's not just when I sing because
no, right.
I cannot sing.
No.
Thank
right.
God
no.
it's not based upon
no.
how we sound.
No, exactly.
Because I would never enter in. I mean, but right. worship is a lifestyle.
Absolutely.
And everything that you were just
yes.
saying, it's like...
Yes.
It's stewarding an environment and an atmosphere.
So good.
Yes.
That's what worship is. And I think that's why when you're scrolling on your phone all day and then mm-hmm. you feel heavy and you feel yuck.
Yeah.
Well, it's because
no
you
wonder.
Have, you've invited all this into your atmosphere. I was telling
that's
a girl
good.
The other day, she said, I'm moving to Canada because I can't stand everything that's going on in the U.S. It's so peaceful in Canada. And I said, well, yeah.
Okay.
But listen what I said. I said, listen, okay, so if you move to Canada, then I'm expecting you to get rid of all your social media. Because it doesn't matter if you geographically
right.
move when
right.
all the upheaval you're referring to is mm-hmm. happening because you're inviting it into your house
yes.
every day.
Probably.
So it doesn't
yes.
matter where you move if you keep up with all of these things.
Absolutely.
All you really, you could stay here in Texas where we were, but yes. all you need to do is get rid of all
right.
of that because that yep. is worship.
Yes.
Worship is worship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying,
this
then I'm going yeah. to uphold this yep. standard of everybody's opinion.
Yeah.
Everybody's, all the haters are going to get a seat at my table because
yeah.
I'm opening that up. And
yeah.
it's like God saying, wait a minute, who do you make room for here?
Yep.
And I think that's why it has to be granular. And that's why we have to say it is good to get old because we understand that we overcome
mm-hmm.
by the blood of the Lamb and not our testimony, but by the what?
Word.
The word of our testimony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're older, you know, all I have to do is keep reminding myself, God's come through for me.
Yes. Yes.
And I think the younger can learn. That's why I love this show so much,
mm-hmm.
because younger women can hear and go, wait,
yeah.
that's how you overcome?
Yes.
That was our responsibility, really, right? For
yes.
the older women to teach the younger women.
Amen.
So,
yes.
I mean, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Dee Dee.
Yeah.
yeah. Dr. Dee Dee.
Yeah. It's such good news. There's something you can do.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think sometimes
yeah.
people are so fear-filled because
mm-hmm.
they don't think they're, this is out of control.
Right.
There's nothing I can do. I'm stuck here in this
yeah.
situation.
Yeah.
And that's why just the conversation that we're having, no, you can turn away
yes.
and you can
redirect.
Talk about the good
yes. yeah.
and the merciful.
Yeah.
And I'll just go back to that story. I literally had forgotten mm. that I was no longer having those night terrors.
Yeah.
And that was something that we tried not to talk about it a lot. It was embarrassing to me that I acted like that
mm-hmm.
in my 30s. You know,
yeah.
I can't stay home
right,
by myself.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you don't discuss it. You don't keep,
right.
you don't put it out mm-hmm. there. I've never
yeah.
talked about it before on television. It's too embarrassing for
right.
me. But you see, God's word transforms. And it, like I said earlier, it's not overnight.
Right.
I want to encourage people.
Yes.
I want to encourage
yeah.
the 20, the 30.
Yes.
It's not tomorrow
right.
that everything's going to just change inside you. This is
yeah.
something, like you said, stewarding,
yeah.
working the field, the vineyard.
Yes.
It is a
yeah.
opportunity and a responsibility, like Dee Dee said.
Yeah.
Hey, you can live the life you want.
Mm-hmm.
You want to yeah. go on living yeah. with that?
Right.
Keep
you're not
talking
a victim.
About-
You're
there
not.
You go.
And that's what I think the enemy's first thing is to convince us our identity is that of a victim. And when we're powerless, then we think, oh, we come in agreement with him. Then we don't actually do anything to contend for the faith.
There you go.
Yeah.
And we're not powerless. We can contend every single day.
I had an encounter with the Lord one day. And all of a sudden, all the worries and the care and the times in my life that I just carried a heavy burden and thought about it all the time was wasted, empty time. And I just remember the value of my time here on earth. The time we have is valuable. It's valuable to the kingdom of God. And for you to worry about something means you can meditate. And the Bible says to meditate on the word day and night. So I just encourage you to take your worries, cast them on the Lord. All your care, the things that you keep you up at night, the things that just get a grip on you. I ask you to just give it to God. Say, God, I've got to give this to you. I cast my cares on you and start meditating on the scriptures. Take your Bible out and just start reading. Start reading in Psalms, start reading in John, anywhere. And don't waste your time worrying.
We have to be warriors. And I actually think that sometimes when I was a young woman and we talked about women's lib, that's how old I am, okay? Women's lib, I mean, we don't, what kind of conversation is that? But back then, that was, that was a big deal. And I remember thinking about that through as I went in this road of maturity and the idea being that I don't need to be liberated. Christ liberated me. Yeah. And beyond that, I'm a warrior. And if I think about it, my mother was a warrior. Mm-hmm. Her mother was a warrior. They were believers.
Yes.
You talk about powerful and strong. And Lori, you are right to have seasoned women who have seen the goodness of the Lord and actually have proven that there is almost a skill. I don't want to sound like it's me because it is the Holy Spirit. I can't do it. But there comes a kind of a rhythm to the faith walk that gives you a strength. We build the muscles, so to speak, and we have a choice. We don't have to. We can still be running around. But instead, there's this opportunity to live in this kingdom of power. And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
The awareness is where the power comes back, is that you go, okay, the enemy's messing with me, telling me I'm not going to live or whatever. I remember that's when the battle was really won for me because he was spending so much time every day telling me, you're not going to live. I would lay and cry and watch Say Yes to the Dress with my 11-year-old daughter, who is about to be engaged, by the way. So, yes, but back then I would cry and go, oh, I hope I'm here, you know, and I hadn't won that battle yet. And I remember the Lord just saying, Amy, why do you think the enemy would show up every day and tell you you're not going to live if you weren't? He's an ancient foe. Don't you think he would spend his time somewhere else? So the fact that he's trying to get to convince you that you're not going to live is that he needs you to come in agreement with that, for that lie to work.
That. Yeah.
And so I just went, wow, you're busy, dude. You're thousands of years old, and yet you're showing up here making sure that I'm being tormented with this lie. I would think you'd have better things to do. So I must be really dangerous to you.
Right.
You don't want me to be alive 10 years from now. And I won't come in agreement with that. You know, I took it and flipped that lie on its ear and said, if you're here working on my faith with fear, then that means I have a future. And I scare you. And that's exactly why you're here trying to get me to agree with you.
It's that tenacity.
You felt that. I felt that, Amy. Yeah.
So, you know, so someone could be watching today. Maybe they're young in their faith and they don't have the history with the Lord like those of us sitting in this circle do. I love the power of sharing our testimony because one of the definitions of testimony is do it again.
Yes.
And so as you hear
the
testimonies that we're sharing today, it prophesies to your future and says, if God did this for us, he can do it for you. Whatever you're facing, you know, whatever you're, the mountain that's in front of you, he is the same God. We can open up the word of God and see how he has been a deliverer from Genesis to Revelation, how good he is. He's the same God. And so, so that's why we love to share our stories because, we know that, that all of us are face certain things. And so we have the power to overcome as we share and as we hear. So I just want to pray for those that are watching today, maybe that are dealing with worry and anxiety and fear. Lord, I just lift up my sisters today who are watching, God. I thank you that you have given us, when Jesus ascended, he didn't leave us alone, but he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so, so we have the Holy Spirit with us, present with us in whatever situation. And so, God, I just pray for my sisters now who are watching, God, that they would be encouraged, that they would have, that their faith would be strengthened, that they would know that whatever they're facing that they're afraid of or the future that they're afraid of, that you are with them now and you will be with them then, as they choose to set their mind on you, as they choose to practice your presence, to open up your word and to experience you right in the middle. You're the Alpha and the Omega, and you are also the God of the middle. You're right in the middle of our situation. And so, God, I just thank you. I thank you that you're present with us. And I just ask that for my sisters now that are watching. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
So good.